get back and reach the stars. Pull one down for you, shining on my heart, so you could see the truth. And this love I have inside is everything it seems. But for now I find it's only in my dreams. And I can change the world. I will be the sunlight in your universe. You would think my love was really something good. Baby, if I could.
Morning. I'm Katerina Badzaiki and welcome to this week's Greek Elections Analysis Special. In this week's English-speaking program of The Voice of Greece, we will not be looking at infinitely curious issues, but will rather be focusing on today's parliamentary elections in Greece. Analysts believe that it could be those who are eligible to vote for the first time, that is 440,000 young people aged 17 to 21, who could perhaps swing the election tightly contested by the ruling New Democracy and the leftist Syriza opposition. Their decision at the ballot box will be particularly important this time around, as this is the first Greek election to employ proportional representation. This new voting system might provide the smallest parties with an opportunity to take part in forming a coalition government. Political analyst, editor and co-founder of political analysis website Makropolis, Nick Malkoutis, talks about the possible coalition of the left as well as the wobbly position of the present right-wing New Democracy government.
I think that it's a complex situation in the sense that obviously for this election coming up on May 21st, we have the proportional representation electoral system, which means that the winning party or the winning combination of parties need upwards of 45% of the vote. And it's obviously clear no single party is going to get that. So then we're looking at what combinations could work or what coalition governments could be formed. And we have the two main parties coming at it from completely opposite positions. So Kyriakos Mitsotakis and New Democracy are saying there's no point in talking about coalitions. Greece is better placed if it has strong single-party governments. So we're not going to make an effort to form coalition after these elections. It's better if we go to a second vote. And in the second vote, it will be a different electoral system. The winning party will get up to an extra 50 seats. And therefore, it's more likely that you can have a single-party government. Syriza and Alexis Tsipras, who brought in this proportional representation law, are coming at it from the point of view that no, the whole point of this is that it creates an environment in which parties have to come together to form a government, and Syriza is willing to lead that government. The problem is that Syriza has two key problems. The first is that if opinion polls are accurate, it suggests that the numbers simply won't add up. So certainly Syriza plus the third party, centre-left PASOK, will not have more than 150 seats, therefore won't be able to form a majority government on their own. The Greek parliament has 300 seats. So then they will need the support of a third party, which might be the radical left party Mera 25, led by the former finance minister Yanis Varoufakis. The problem they have is that there is absolutely no understanding between these three parties. In fact, I would say quite the opposite. They have all been more or less at each other's throats for the last few weeks. And this also points to perhaps a broader problem, which is that having adopted this electoral system or brought it in when it was in power, Syriza hasn't really done anything to cultivate any kind of common basis, common platform, which could be used to form a coalition. It's all about, well, you know, we'll have the discussion the day after the elections. And I don't think that that has really helped Greek voters, who are generally used over the last few decades to single-party governments, contemplate the idea of some coalition to sort of visualize it. And that may count against Syriza, possibly the other opposition parties, when the elections come along.
Mm-hmm. It has been a very interesting 3-4 year period in terms of all the events that happened. We had COVID, we had the accident in Tempi. So I guess Greek voters are very indecisive at the moment, maybe more indecisive than we have ever witnessed. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think there's obviously a lot of things have happened over the last few years. And you mentioned COVID. Obviously, we've also had the energy crisis, the cost of living crisis. We've had huge wildfires in Greece. We had the devastating Tempi train crash that you mentioned. So there's a lot has been going on. I would say that we have seen a large amount of undecided voters. Again, if opinion polls are correct, it's around 10 to 12% of voters undecided, which is an unusually large amount for so close to an election. And I would say that the way I interpret it is that this is a reflection of the fact that New Democracy, the ruling party, got close to 40% in 2019. And I think that some of the voters who backed the party then have become, to some extent, disillusioned, either because of the difficult economic, personal economic situation they are in, or because of a variety of things that have happened, some of which I mentioned before, and most recently the Tempi train crash, which they feel that perhaps the ruling party is largely responsible. But I think that what may decide this election, or perhaps the next one, if we go to a second vote, is that on the economy, Greeks can see that there is the start of a recovery after the long and deep economic crisis we went through. And I think a lot of voters will end up voting according to who they believe is better placed to build on that recovery, to nurture that recovery. And I have a feeling, and certainly this is what the opinion polls are suggesting at the moment, and of course, maybe they turn out to be wrong because there are a number of variables, that ultimately this will tip the election in favour of New Democracy and Kyriakos Mitsotakis, because if you look at how voters feel about the parties and the leaders when it comes down to specific policy issues, Mitsotakis fares much better than his rivals in most departments, particularly the ones that have to do with economic issues.
Mm-hmm. You don't think that this percentage of undecided voters will be won over by smaller parties, do you?
Well, look, there are two key variables in this election. One is the undecided vote. We said it's quite large. You can never really be sure where it will go or how many of those undecided voters will vote. The indication is that it will be dispersed among smaller parties and among the parties currently represented in Parliament without any single party benefiting significantly. We simply have to wait to see if it turns out like that. The other variable is that we have a lot of first-time voters coming in this time. So in this election, it was the same in 2019. Anyone who is turning 17 this year can vote. This means that an estimated 400,000 to 450,000 voters will be casting their ballots for the first time. It's a significant number. And again, we simply don't know, because there's no track record of how these people will vote or how many of them will participate. The opinion poll company suggests that maybe around 50-55% will take part. But there are a number of factors here. One is we're talking about an age group that is 17 to 25. So a significant amount of this constituency will be working in the tourism industry and will probably already be on the Greek islands or resorts working, and probably won't be coming back to wherever they vote, their home cities, to vote. So that has to be factored in again. It's a bit of an unknown.
So you mean abstention by circumstances, not by will, by pure will?
Yes, because the system in Greece means you have to vote wherever your voting district is. You can't vote remotely. So, you know, it's a practical element. If you're working in the tourism industry and you're hundreds of kilometers away from where you would normally vote, and airplane tickets, boat tickets, road travel is expensive to come back, or you can't get the time off, you simply won't vote. So there is a bit of an issue about what will happen with this share of the vote. Generally, over the last elections, Syriza has fared better than New Democracy and is the best performer in the youngest age group, but not by a huge distance. So if everything is equal, and again, if opinion polls prove accurate, what this age group does won't make a huge difference to the overall outcome.
We've seen actually lately there is a rise in the extreme right party. I mean, we saw that there was an attempt by this newly formed Elinus party and the attempt by the government to stop them. But they're still there, aren't they?
Yes, and I think that it's important to stress, and because at the last election in 2019, there was a lot of discussion because Golden Dawn, the neo-Nazi party, failed to make it into parliament. There was a lot of discussion about the far right in Greece fading away. But I think that was perhaps wishful thinking. Consistently, if you look at the voting patterns over the last 10 to 15 years, there is 8 to 10% of the Greek electorate that votes for either far right or ultra-nationalist, or I guess what are called these days alt-right parties. And that figure has been pretty steady. So the fact that Elinus have been barred from taking part in this election doesn't mean that that vote will disappear. It's been there for years and it will be there at this election. The question is, will those voters who are going to vote for Elinus, will they support someone else or will they just not go? Again, indications by the opinion polls are that if they do vote, they will vote for small far-right parties and will not make an impact on the final outcome of the vote as far as the main parties are concerned.
Speaking about the second round of elections, I noticed that we have the elections in Turkey, and looking at the outcome of the election so far, I can't help but thinking that I'm drawing parallels to the situation of Turkey with the situation in Greece. You mentioned that Mitsotakis has a big chance of being re-elected, and we saw that it's happening with Erdogan as well. Do you think that we're going to the second round and it's going to be more difficult, or it's going to be more or less the same situation as we're witnessing now with Erdogan?
Well, I think that it all depends on the outcome of the first vote. So if New Democracy is able to get more than, say, around 35% of the vote, then it probably puts them in a good position to win an outright majority in the second election, because they'll probably need around 37 to 38% to get more than 150 seats in parliament. And I think that New Democracy officials will feel that that is in within their reach if they get more than 35 in the first round. If they are below that, if New Democracy performs worse than the opinion polls are suggesting, if Syriza performs a bit better, then it becomes a much more complicated situation. And then I think that we, assuming we see no government formed after the May 21st elections, we will see, I think, quite a bitter and polarized fight for the second elections, because New Democracy will be pulling out all the stops to get a majority, and Syriza will feel that perhaps it has a chance of preventing Mitsotakis from being re-elected.
Mm-hmm. And then we'll probably see that percentage of voters you mentioned earlier who have already difficulty going to vote in their own areas, whether they're going to go and re-vote again in the same area.
Well, then, yes, exactly. Then you have to calculate, is there a bit of voter fatigue? Are people, you know, we're talking about possibly the second elections happening in July 2nd. Schools will be closed. Will some families be on holiday? More people working in the tourism industry, perhaps less interest in the elections. And then, you know, how would that affect the potential outcome? So there are a number of unknowns there.
And that was political analyst, editor and co-founder of political analysis website Makropolis, Nick Malkoutsis.
Make your mind up.
With this potential fatigue in sight, politicians are betting all odds to the younger generation. Therefore, they are vying for votes and have turned to YouTube and TikTok to win over that particular electoral group who have long felt that years of crisis have cost them their youth. Independent journalist and Al Jazeera correspondent for Southeast Europe John Psaropoulos talks about how these votes will indeed affect the overall results for the ruling parties. John, good morning and welcome to your programme.
Good morning, Katerina. Thank you for having me.
Now, are young voters a defining factor in these elections?
I think in a rapidly ageing population like Greece's, where the population pyramid is actually inverted, and with each successive generation you have a narrower strip of live births, no. The youth are not a defining factor because they're a decreasing proportion of the vote. And I think quite the opposite. You'll find that 3 million retirees are the defining factor. That's the unfortunate truth about our society, that measures are not based. Policies are not designed around what's good for a shrinking proportion of the population, which also happens to be the future. The trend in births has begun to change very slightly in 2020 and 21, but it's too early to say whether that will be sustained. There's been a small uptick in live births.
Mm-hmm. I do understand what you're saying, that the youth is just a small part of the electorate at around 18%. But I also see that politicians cannot afford to be indifferent at this time. Because also the stakes are high. We see that they constantly post things on social sites like YouTube and TikTok. How do you see that?
I agree that they're making an appeal, and that's a refreshing change. But what are the measures that are actually being undertaken to strengthen the youth? I'm not sure they're substantial enough. Is education being substantially improved? There are signs that New Democracy has moved in that direction by, for example, putting PISA exams on the Greek curriculum for the last 2 years, which are a direct comparison of Greek performance versus European average performance. We're not doing well at all, by the way. We're at the bottom of the PISA rankings. But at least we now have the courage to look that fact in the eye. And the next step will be to do something about it. The government has proposed evaluating teachers, which is something they've reacted, of course, against, and they've been protesting on the streets of Athens to avoid being evaluated. The government's, you know, come up with this gimmicky 150 euro handout to young people in the summer period, which is basically a small bribe. It's not a large amount of money, and it doesn't address their core concern, which is having a good education, which is competitive in the job market, and then having a competitive job to do when they graduate, a job that's going to pay for their mortgage when they find their mate and get married and buy their first home. All of those rather more important things are still out of the reach of many of Greece's young people.
This is the first Greek election to employ proportional representation. Now, does a new electoral system mean that an outright winner is unlikely, making every vote count?
Well, proportional representation has always been a standard of the left, and it was brought in by Andreas Papandreou in 1989, allegedly fulfilling a promise to his voters. The theory behind it is that if no party gets a premium, then you have a more democratic arrangement of seats in parliament. But the concomitant of that is that you have to have a coalition government, and Greece's parliament, because it has such a broad range of ideologies, it goes from Stalinism to neo-fascism now, unfortunately, doesn't necessarily present itself as an ideal chamber for such collaborations. You need centrist parties to come up with reasonable coalitions, and we've seen that that's difficult. The coalitions we've seen have been marriages of opposites, like, for example, Syriza with Independent Greeks, which was a far-right party. Syriza also carried the standard of bringing back proportional representation while it was in power. It didn't implement it at the beginning of its term. Like Andrés Papandreou, it implemented it at the end of its term, sensing that it wouldn't win another election. And the purpose of that, both in 1989 and 2018, was to sabotage the incoming Conservatives and make it difficult for them to form a government. So I think this whole standard of proportional representation in our political culture has been surrounded by cynicism rather than virtue.
Yet how much smaller parties do you think will play a part in this year's elections? I mean, this new voting system might actually provide the smallest parties with an opportunity to take part in forming a coalition government or not.
There are some small parties that are worth paying attention to, like the European Green Party, which is attempting to create a green movement in Greece along the lines of the European Green Movement and pursues progressive policies, not just on the environment. But I don't think that they stand a chance of entering Parliament and clearing the 3% threshold. And on the other hand, you have a very large number of small parties in Greece that do not come across as very serious political parties. And it's doubtful whether small parties here in Greece have actually done much good and contributed much to the political debate since, I would say, going back to 2012, when the two-party system essentially broke down and voters fled for alternatives and found that there weren't many that were really worth sticking to for a long time. Mm-hmm. So since 2012, we've seen small parties come and go through Parliament, and we've rarely seen them contribute something valuable to the political debate or to the policy-making process. The big exceptions to what I would say are the River, the Topotami, and Fotis Kouvelis. Those two were small alternative parties that might have had a good future if people had supported them for long enough. But they partly imploded under the weight of their own inability to convince more voters to come in and to demonstrate that they had a future.
Yet we heard recently Syriza making an announcement, speaking about bigger parties, making an announcement that they will go into a coalition with the left Basok party. Will that affect the overall outcome of the elections?
Look, I think there's a contradiction here in what Syriza is saying. On the one hand, they present themselves as being the more democratic party by supporting proportional representation. On the other hand, they would use proportional representation by forming a minority party, because Syriza was 26% and PASOK, Socialist Party, with 10%, would be a minority party within Parliament. How is that democratic? I don't think that that proposal makes much sense. And I don't have a sense from talking to people here in Greece that is something that would have broad support in society.
It seems that there is a large percentage, John, of undecided voters in these parliamentary elections. Do you think they will remain undecided, and will their no vote mean something for the end result?
It will be very interesting to see what the voter participation rate will be, because it's been going down for a number of years. I would say since about 2010, when Greece started going down this path of austerity measures and balancing its budget. Before that, Greece traditionally had an 80% voter turnout. We've now gone to about 60%. I think if we go much lower, then we're in danger of people becoming very disengaged from the electoral process. So the undecided vote at 17% at this point is important. If many of those people decide to support Syriza or New Democracy, the two leading parties, and they could swing the election result significantly in one direction or the other. But I think a bigger danger is that much of that 17% will decide to cast a blank vote or to not show up, and that'll be, I think, a way of demonstrating their displeasure towards all the alternatives.
living in? Am I dreaming? Who is gonna protect us now? Right back in color. Blacks depreciate. If we're not careful, we'll be back segregated. Religion. Hate is poison in the blood. Heaven is crying, the world is shaking. God is unhappy, the moon is breaking. Blood is spilling, God is coming. What do you gotta do? Shout them loud. Take this love. Put away the gun and take this love. We got.
Nick Malkoutis earlier spoke also about the abstention vote, and he also said that it's not deliberate. Some, you know, because of the fact that one has to go to their home origin to vote, you know, it makes it more difficult, and it's going to be even more difficult in the second round with the fatigue involved in that. Do you agree with that?
I'm not sure I agree with it. Traveling across Greece does not involve covering great distances. You get 4 days off for election weekend. It's usually seized upon by Greeks as an excuse to go back to their hometown or island and have a bit of a holiday and see people they haven't seen for a long time. And I think that will not be a major obstacle. The indifference, I think, will come from other sources. It'll come from the fact that people just aren't motivated by any major party to make the effort to vote at all.
If elected, Syriza says it will abolish university entry requirements. Well, New Democracy has promised the €150 benefit when someone turns 18. How possible do you think this is, and will they actually stick to those promises?
You mean the lowering of the voting age to 17?
Exactly.
Well, look, the left has traditionally invested in the youth. Syriza, remember when it mobilized students against the New Democracy university reforms of 2005 to 2006, didn't only mobilize university students, it went into schools and mobilized high school students and even middle school students. So it's part of the shtick of the left that it reaches down towards the young and in some way therefore counterbalances the gerontocratic tendencies of Greek society, where typically you don't acquire wealth or power until, you know, midlife. And I don't find that Syriza has particularly done things to help the young. I don't think they improved education. I don't think they improved conditions for either teachers or students in schools. It's part of the profile, it's part of the flavor of the Greek left, that in theory they care about the young.
But traditionally, we saw in 2008, we had weeks of riots over the police killing of a teenager that also helped topple the government. In March, now, after we had Greece's deadliest train crash that killed 57 people, most of them students, thousands of youths took to the streets in the biggest anti-government protests in years. I mean, we see that. It doesn't only affect the youth. I mean, it affects the opinion of an older generation as well. Do you think, are these serious enough reasons to topple the overall result against the ruling New Democracy government?
I agree with you that the train crash has been a potential game changer in this election. Let's not forget the station master who sent train 62 up the southbound track to collide with a southbound freight train was hired outside the normal vetting process of ASEP, the Supreme Council for Personnel Selection, as one of 73 station masters in a fast-track process. In theory, because the Hellenic Railways Organization was in urgent need of them. But we all know what that means in the Greek political landscape. When you hire people outside the normal evaluation process, you're usually doing it to pay people political favors. And therefore, New Democracy can be said to have been directly responsible for causing the Tempi disaster by hiring a man who was obviously poorly trained and poorly suited for his job. So yes, that accident, I think, became, alongside energy inflation, the big headache for Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis. And while he has done the right thing, which is to admit that New Democracy was also at fault, and to promise that all safety systems will be in place by October, we still haven't seen a practical follow-up to that promise. We haven't seen the temporary transport minister, Yorgos Gerapetritis, for example, say Alstom equipment has now arrived and is being installed or will be arriving on such and such a date. So skepticism, you know, is bound to remain and to hover over the government's response. Emotionally, it was the right response, but the damage has been done. It's been revealed that New Democracy has acted no more transparently in public hiring and public administration than Syriza and PASOK did before it.
Mentioning inflation, we know that the present New Democracy government, though, prides itself on having Greece's GDP growing 8.4% in 2021 and 5.2% in the fourth quarter of 2022. Yet, real wages or nominal wages after deducting inflation have not followed a similar path, and in many cases they have fallen due to continuous price hikes. We know inflation in Greece in 2022 sat at 9.3%. Now, do you think the present government will lose votes because of that, or they will not be taken into account at all?
I think inflation is really a big problem for all people who sell their labour in Greece and are paid a fixed income. It's a problem for the middle class. It's certainly a problem for the poor. We've seen prices go up and up in the supermarkets every week, literally, for the past several months, by pennies at a time, but over time by a very large amount. So people are having to make very difficult choices in their daily lives. That is a problem because that makes people feel that their lives aren't becoming better. Although there is also, I would say, an understanding that this is not a Greek problem and it's not a New Democracy problem. So I'm not sure how inflation will play. I'm not sure how rationally people will think about it and decide it's not the government's fault. I'm also not sure how much people will take into account the efforts the government has made to counteract it. spending $15 billion on energy subsidies last year, for example, or raising minimum wage from 650 to 780 euros in the last couple of months. I'm not sure how rational people are when they go into that little booth and check somebody's name. It really remains to be seen. I think also another factor that will play into that economic consideration of the voter is the extent to which they feel New Democracy will improve economic conditions over the next 4 years, which it promises to do, and versus whether they believe Syriza would do that much better. So I think inflation is important. I really can't predict how it's going to play.
Having spoken about all that, where do you see the election result now as we speak? Who will win, you think, in this term?
Well, the polls all show consistently that New Democracy will be ahead. What does winning mean? In a sense, no one will win because no one will have 151 seats in parliament. So New Democracy will win if PASOK and Syriza don't form a minority government and the country moves to repeat elections on July 2nd, because Kyriakos Mitsotakis will then get a premium of about 40 seats under the new election law that will then apply. And I think he will have got his way if that happens. Syriza and PASOK will both win in a sense if their numbers turn out to be better than predicted by the polls. If Syriza gets to, for example, 30% of the popular vote and PASOK goes to something truly impressive like 13 or 15%, then I think that the message will be people are much more displeased with New Democracy than the polls have suggested.
Thank you, John, and thank you for taking the time to speak to us in this program.
Thank you for having me.
And that was independent journalist and Al Jazeera correspondent for Southeast Europe, John Psaropoulos.
You change into
Greece's economic situation is also reflected in the labour market. More and more employers say they are finding it difficult to recruit staff as workers feel that wages are not high enough. Thousands of jobs remain vacant in critical sectors for the Greek economy, such as food services, tourism and construction. Unemployment in Greece in 2022 sat at 11%. At the same time, Greek consumers are forced to cut their purchases of basic goods to deal with a wave of continuous price hikes. Inflation and economic growth are the issues foremost on people's minds. And while 82% of young Greeks say they intend to vote, only 35 believe elections can improve things. That is a survey by Eteron Think Tank that found these figures. While the economy is forecast to grow by 2.3% this year and unemployment has eased to 10%, nearly a quarter of those under 24 are jobless and 14% of those are under 30 are severely, materially or socially deprived. That is according to Eurostat, both figures more than double the EU average. Economists say the scaring effects of lost income, skills and productivity suffered in earlier years will likely last a lifetime and could spell problems for state finances down the line, with an aging and shrinking population worsened by an exodus of nearly 500,000 skilled young Greeks during the crisis. Now, for many young Greeks, finding suitable work is tough. Greece's dire demographic problems mean young voters are only a small part of the electorate, as we said earlier, at around 18%. But politicians cannot afford to be indifferent, as this time, more than ever, stakes are high. I'm Katerina Badzaiki. Thank you for joining us in this week's Greek Elections Analysis special. More same time next week on our regular, infinitely curious program of The Voice of Greece to learn about all those things that excite our curiosity. Meanwhile, tune in to Earth's Voice of Greece to hear about this very interesting and exciting Greek election derby. Thank you.
Εδώ Αθήνα, η φωνή της Ελλάδας.